Everyone ready? Okay, good evening. I'd like to call to order the City of Goleta Planning Commission meeting of Monday, January 28th, 2013, to order. Madam Chair, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Daniels?
Present.
Commissioner Sheeler?
Present.
Commissioner Solomon?
Present.
Vice Chair West?
Here.
Chair Wallace?
Here. Shall we pledge our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We begin with a public forum, which is the opportunity to speak to the commission on any items within our jurisdiction, but not on tonight's agenda. And we have no speaker slips for that. So we can move on. Are there any amendments or adjustments for this evening? None of those. Well, I think that leads us right to our first item. Madam Clerk, the minutes.
Item A1. Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of January 7th, 2013.
Okay, are we ready for a motion on this?
I'll make a motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Second that.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 One abstention, because I was absent.
Okay, it's 4-1 abstention, Madam Clerk. So we're just moving right ahead to item B1, please.
Item B1 is a public hearing. It's number 12-145DP-CUP, Venico Platform, Holly Power Cable Replacement Project, 7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 0792-10059, and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 0792-10042.
Thank you. Ms. Wells, we're ready for the staff report when you are.
Good evening, Chair Wallace and Commissioners. Tonight's a public hearing. Our applicant is here in the audience. They are not doing a presentation tonight, but are here to answer any questions if you have any. And our associate planner in advanced planning, Sarah Iza, is doing the presentation on the project, so I will turn it over to her.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wells. Good evening, Commissioners. We're here tonight to discuss the Holly Platform Cable Replacement Project and associated DP and major conditional use plan. Here is a vicinity map of the project. The large white box in the northern part of is the part of the project within the city limits. And you will see the proposed replacement cable is the blue line going out to Platform Holly in the ocean. This is a figure of Platform Holly. Platform Holly is a self-contained triple-decked oil drilling and production platform roughly 2 miles off Goleta's coastline and approximately 211 feet of water. And it's in the jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission and the State Lands Commission. It's connected via pipeline to the Elwood Onshore Facility in the city of Goleta, And as you can see here, to the west of the EOF is the Bacara Resort, and to the east is Sandpiper Golf Course. The project requires approval from the State Lands Commission. Also, the City of Goleta is, as a responsible agency, the California Coastal Commission, which it will receive approvals from next. And it is also in the jurisdiction of the County of Santa Barbara, but does not require any permits, as it will only have staging there. The project need is that the existing cable is a 46-year-old aging cable that runs from Platform Holly to the EOF, and it's in need of replacement to meet current industry safety standards. The replacement will improve transmission of voice and data signals, which are required for the safe operation of the platform. The project will require the installation of a nearly 16,000-foot-long replacement power cable, the portion of which in the city of Goleta will be underground. 800 feet of that will be in the city. And the new cable will be installed at an entry pit west of the EOF in the gravel access road, and it will continue south underground under a portion of the Sandpiper Golf Course and under the beach and into the surf zone, where it will exit in an exit pit about 1,400 feet offshore and about 30 feet of water. Between the exit pit and Holly, the cable will be laid in a serpentine fashion on the ocean floor. Here's another figure showing the EOF to the left, which is actually the north in this figure, and the proposed alignment of the cable. And the exit pit on the right or the south, where it will come above ground on the ocean floor. Below that top panel is a profile of the proposed cable underground and how it will re-enter into the ocean. This is another figure showing the contours or bathymetry of the ocean and how the proposed cable will daylight, so to speak, in the ocean. You'll hear us talk about HDD, which is the drilling rig that will be used to insert the cable underground in the city's jurisdiction. This is a special rig that uses drilling muds, such as bentonite, to lubricate the rock as it bores horizontally into the ground. And I believe this is the actual rig that will be used on site. So just to reiterate, the project will have no new construction within the EOF except for a new replacement vault connection to the existing transformer, and that vault will require some trenching from the entry pit over to the new vault, and that will be done by hand, I believe. So this is an exhibit of the EOF. It's very simplified. You can see where the new HDPE conduit will be trenched over to the new vault on the east, and then also where the existing cable is south of there. And just outside of the boundary of the EOF is where the entry pit will be and the HDD rig to insert the new cable. So parking and contractor deliveries will be in the county jurisdiction over at the Elwood Pier, and the cable will be pushed from a barge located at the HDD pit offshore, and the cable delivery will not be in the city portion of the project. This is a figure of an example barge showing how they unreel the conduit into the ocean along the floor. This is a similar barge. I don't believe it's the exact same barge that will be used. The existing power cable will cease operation and will be abandoned in place and will be removed upon decommissioning of the EOF and Platform Holly. In terms of project schedule, the onshore construction will take about 9 weeks, and the HDD will take about 3 to 4 weeks, and due to the nature of HDD drilling, it will occur 24 hours per day. And the offshore construction will take about an additional 3 weeks beyond the end of the HDD. That's where they will be unreeling the cable back to Platform Holly. So the proposed project in the city jurisdiction requires a development plan for the installation of the replacement underground power cable from the EOF site to Platform Holly, which will be inserted via the HDD, and then also a major conditional use permit to allow the replacement cable to be installed and operated within the coastal zone because of its proximity to an ESHA along Bell Creek. So environmental review, the commission is also asked tonight to consider the MND, the final MND that was considered by the State Lands Commission and adopted by them. It was released for a 30-day public review from October 5th to November 5th in cooperation with the California State Lands Commission, the city, and the Coastal Commission. The MND was adopted by State Lands on December 5th, 2012. And tonight, as I said, the Planning Commission must consider the MND pursuant to CEQA. Next, the project will go to the California Coastal Commission, likely in March of this year. So I just want to summarize some of the potentially significant impacts that were identified in the MND that were mitigated to less than significant levels. First is aesthetics and the mitigation for the potentially significant aesthetics impacts was a construction night lighting plan, which will be required prior to construction. For biological resources, there were Bio 2, Bio 3, Bio 4, Bio 5, and Bio 6, which required pre-construction surveys, a biological monitor, highly visible fencing, a spill response and HDD fluid release monitoring and contingency plan, and a habitat restoration plan. All of these were required to reduce any potentially significant impacts to less than significant levels. For cultural resources, construction monitoring is required for archaeological resources, and also that unanticipated archaeological resources are reported. In terms of hydrology and water quality, a water quality storm water pollution prevention plan is required. And for traffic, a construction traffic control plan is required. For hazards and hazardous materials, a couple of the biological mitigations apply that would cover any potentially significant impacts related to hazards and hazardous materials. The staff report you've received talks about general plan consistency as well as zoning consistency. Very briefly, the project is consistent with the land use element, specifically land use policy 9.2, as the project ensures Holly does not lose power or fail, and it thus improves safety. It's also consistent with a conservation element, as the conditions require mitigations to reduce and avoid biological impacts. For example, the requirement of a biological monitor and a frack out contingency plan are part of the mitigations. And also it's consistent with the safety element, as again, land use policy 9.2 protects against the risk of HDD drilling mud release as required by a frack out contingency plan. In terms of zoning consistency, the staff report describes that the project is consistent with 35-157 as it establishes requirements for oil and gas, and also 35-148 as it establishes requirements for public works facilities, including transmission lines. For instance, the project is required to be undergrounded, and it will be bored underground entirely in the city's jurisdiction. So in summary, the city portion of the project is essential in ensuring safe operation of Platform Holly, as the existing cable is old and needs to be replaced. The project is consistent with the general plan and the zoning ordinance, and it will require a CDP from the Coastal Commission if the development plan is approved by the Planning Commission. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the resolutions found in the staff report by considering the MND and adopting the findings and the associated mitigation monitoring and reporting plan, and also approve the development plan and major conditional use permit found in the staff report. And staff is available to answer any questions, as well as Veneco staff, Mr. Gregg and Mr. Carter. Thank you. Just one more thing. In the staff report, the numbering on the conditions, there was an issue with word formatting, and those will be corrected pending approval of the CUP and the DP tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, commissioners? Meg?
Got some questions for the applicant. I'm curious, how long will the replacement cable last once it's installed? And has any thought been put into how to replace future cables with minimum impact on the environmental sensitive habitat?
Madam Chair, Commissioner West, the existing cable has been there for the 46 years. So, cables last for decades. So it's our anticipation that this will be the last cable that has to be put in for Platform Holly. And it's put in a way, and part of the serpentine reason we're putting in as a serpentine is it gives enough slack that if there were a repair required, you can pull it off the ocean floor and repair it. So I think from our standpoint, with the current technology, with the coating on the cable, this should last for as long as Platform Holly lasts. And what was the second? I'm sorry. What was the second part of the question?
I was just curious if it would ever have to be replaced again in the future, and you've answered my question.
We don't anticipate it. Part of that is dependent on the life of Holly. So, okay.
Other questions?
Madam Chair, I had one question for, sure. for staff. This is in regards to the requirement of a major CUP. Would this not be required if it, this project were not proximate to an ESHA? Is that the reason why there's a major CUP, because it's proximate to an ESHA?
Commissioner Shieler, yes, that is the main requirement for the major CUP, is the proximity to the ESHA.
Okay. And one other question I had regarding the environmental impact report that was provided by the State Lands Commission. I noticed that there was a section in there that I really haven't seen before in our other environmental impact reports that included environmental justice. Is that something that's part of what the State Lands Commission includes in their EIRs, and is that something that the City of Goleta ever requires as part of their environmental impact reports that are being done by a consultant?
Thank you, Commissioner. So the state prepared a mitigated negative declaration, not an environmental impact report.
Right.
So it's, the format's going to be a little bit different, but generally the subject areas are the same. And environmental justice is included as a section in a mitigated negative declaration, which is why you see it in the format that it is. It doesn't have to necessarily be called out as a separate section the way that the state did.
Would that be included in an environmental impact report, or is it assigned to a mitigated or to a negative declaration, or is that something that
I believe environmental justice is also in an environmental impact report, but they're in the you don't always call them out as a separate section, so you might not have noticed them in that way.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Please.
Just one question for staff. When you were reviewing the potentially significant impacts that were mitigated to less than significant, I think I heard the word some were being mitigated. Is it some or all of the potentially significant impacts?
Commissioner, yes, all impacts, all potentially significant impacts were mitigated to less than significant levels.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Would the applicant like to add anything? All right.
Well, Madam Chair, then I thought there might be a presentation by the applicant, and so I was holding questions until after that, but since there's not going to be, I do have several questions of you, if you don't mind. On page 38 of the mitigations, it talks about measures.
Excuse me, yes. Just a moment. If we're going to have this exchange, should I go ahead and open the public hearing? Otherwise, we're going to have a little baby public hearing. So let me go ahead and open the public hearing, and then we'll all be on record.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 38, it talks about measures to reduce nitrogen oxide, and several of them indicate or include the language, if feasible. One of them talks about diesel-powered equipment must be replaced by electric equipment whenever feasible. And the other one says, if feasible, diesel construction equipment must be equipped with selective catalytic reduction systems, diesel oxidation catalysts, and diesel particulate filters as certified by the EPA or CARB. Do you know whether these will be feasible for this project, or will you be having to use kind of boilerplate
sure.
diesel equipment?
Yeah, the intent is always to bring in the equipment that meets those requirements. Because we contract a lot of this work out, and the APCD is involved in this, if there's not equipment available in the area, then it's determined that it is infeasible to bring that in. At this point, I don't know if we've released the contracts. Do you know if the contractors have agreed to that level of stringency? Does that answer your question, Commissioner Shieler? So it's at this point, because it's contract, and that's why the language in there is if feasible. If,
mm-hmm.
if the contractor can provide it and the APC looks at it as they can provide it if it's in the area, then that's the standard that'll be used.
Okay. Well, thank you. I understand that may not be determined at this point in time. The next one has to do with notification of neighbors regarding sound and vibration. Is it a 500-foot circle outside the limit? Do you know what the limit is on terms of the minimum kind of notification, whether Venico plans to do that or maybe go beyond the minimum of notifying people in the locale?
Do you know this? Does staff? Oh, go for it.
It's 500 feet.
Okay. And will Venico be doing that, or maybe going above and beyond that? I don't know what neighborhoods or what sensitive noise receptors might be within 500 feet or beyond that that might be exposed to.
Yes, Commissioner. We're required. We're also working concurrently with the Coastal Commission, and we have a requirement to notify the neighboring and adjacent property owners, and we provided them with the list of those adjacent property owners, which is namely the Bacara and Sam Piper, but it did not go across the freeway to the Winchester Commons, if that's what you're getting at.
Okay. My next question has to do with traffic control, and apparently this project is going to take several weeks, and the Bacara is really Goleta's access to Goleta's only beach, which is Haskell's. And during peak periods, I don't know whether that might be during the afternoons or on a weekend, will there be any coordination of parking and contractor deliveries to the Elwood Pier so that it doesn't create any potential obstruction to people's access to Haskell's?
Yes, beach? And one of the mitigation measures in the conditions on the project is to submit a traffic control plan for the project.
Commissioner Sheeler, I might clarify that the parking lot at Elwood Pier is in the county, so it's not in the city. And we our conditions of approval disallow parking at the Haskell's parking lot. So the traffic control plan is going to be our way to validate that they are using parking that is not our public parking in the city, and they do, that is part of their project description, is to use that parking lot at the Elwood Pier. It's not a public parking spot, so they will not be taking up private or public spaces.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I guess my comment had more to do with bringing the materials in and not knowing whether that's going to cause an obstruction on the road that leads into the beach. I understand it was only going to be staged and deployed from the Elwood Pier, but during peak periods when they're bringing equipment and bringing in construction materials, it may impact access to the beach. So I'm not sure under your traffic control plan whether you're anticipating peak periods at the beach and how you
I believe
plan to
we,
work around that.
I don't have the condition in front of me from the State Lands Commission, EIR, mitigated neg deck, but I believe that there's some time restrictions on the delivery times. And it's usually in the morning before everything gets going and then after everything in the afternoon.
Okay.
So those restrictions will be addressed in the traffic control plan.
And thank you. And I believe my last question for the moment for the Venico representatives has to do with, I noticed in the report it talks about environmental hazards training for staff in case there's some sort of spill or accident that people know how to respond effectively and timely. Could you discuss a little bit what kind of environmental hazards training you'll be providing for your staff?
Sure. What we've done with most of our projects is before we commence the project, we get all the contractors together along with our staff, and then we'll go through each and every of the conditions from each and every permit, whether that be from the State Lands Commission, the Coastal Commission, the City of Goleta, the Air Pollution Control District. We'll go through all of the conditions, and typically we have the county or the city's environmental monitor at that meeting, and we'll also address each of the environmental constraints, such as, you know, there will be high-vis fencing, you're not to cross the fencing, you're not to interfere with the ESHA, identification of the species that are located in that area will be communicated to staff as well as the contractors, as well as, you know, general environmental stewardship and picking up trash, everything else. So it's very important to Venico as a company and our contractors, and we understand and we want to comply with all the conditions.
I think it's good to hear that. And I do have one more question for the applicant and then maybe one for the city planning staff. This has to do with the duration of the drilling, which is going to go for several weeks, 24/7. My understanding is that you're bringing in specific equipment and somebody who is very proficient at using this equipment so that you're minimizing any risk, understanding that there had been a spill previously a few years back. In terms of who will be operating the horizontal direction drilling machine, because one specialized person can't do that 24/7. I imagine it would have to be a shift. I don't know whether you continue to use the equipment or swap in a substitute.
Well,
technician.
It is actually the company that we're hiring, and you know the company is led by this lead guy that we brought down when we had the incident. I think mm-hmm. you're referring to Bell Creek about a year ago, and his company was the one that came down And he was operating it at times, and his employees were operating it at other times. Okay. So his employees are at least as proficient as he is. And we kind of went and searched around and around, and we zeroed in on this contractor, and I can assure you that it wasn't a low bid. He is the contractor that completed, I think I mentioned this when we were in the field, the longest HDD bore under San Francisco Bay, and was recognized for that up in the Bay Area by the BCDC, the Coastal Commission, everybody, for his expertise and his company's expertise. And that is who we are choosing for this project.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Gregg?
Sure.
I did have one more question for staff, if that's appropriate keep rolling. Here's the last one, maybe. In terms of mitigation monitoring and reporting program, will this be conducted by city staff or by contractors?
Thank you, Commissioner Sheeler. We will hire a qualified biological and cultural resources monitor to oversee the conditions of approval. And we'll work with the Coastal Commission and the other regulatory agencies to make sure that there's a suitable team of people with the right specialty areas to be able to monitor all the resources that we might have out there. So while staff does not actually go out and physically monitor, we still go out and do site inspections, and our building and safety folks go out and do their inspections. So we get the safety training as well as the contractors that Mr. Carter was talking about before the construction's allowed to start.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else have questions? Okay. You know, before we go further, I forgot to do something. I should ask if there are any disclosures about visits and things like that.
Madam Chair, I conducted a site visit with Commissioner Sheeler.
Madam Chair, I also had a site visit on last Friday morning with Ms. West.
Madam Chair, I visited the site last Friday with Commissioner Solomon.
Ditto.
I did not visit the site for this project, but I've had the opportunity to tour the site on several occasions. Okay. I think now I'll close the public hearing so we can have our discussion. Okay, I'll close the public hearing then. All right, we're ready for discussion, commissioners. Okay, I have one. You know, I have no questions, really, except this one little thing. I wouldn't let you off that easy. On the, I think it's page 359, yeah. This is the table of mitigation monitoring, and on page 359, the traffic mitigations are laid out, and the monitoring and reporting, the responsible agent is CSLC, but I believe that is also City of Goleta. I think the same, and that really should be changed because, you know, these are things really affecting transportation in our city. And I think it's that way in the staff report also. So I think the same may hold true, although I can't quite remember, for fencing. So you perhaps could just take a look, because I think, as you say, it's the short versions of things that get used for training and in the field. That's all.
Chair Wallace, the page that you're referring to on page 359 was from the California State Lands Commission, their MND, and they had put in there that they would be responsible. And we had tried to clarify that in the attached conditions that the city would be responsible.
I think other places on this document do list the City of Goleta as co-monitor. So if we're going to do it elsewhere, I'd like to see it here too.
Okay, thank you. Did you?
Chair Wallace, the mitigated negative declaration was already certified by the State Lands Commission, so we aren't able to actually make changes to that document. But we do have it clarified in the conditions of approval that will be implemented by the applicant.
That's fine. I just want the City of Goleta involved in that that monitoring and some other things on this, so I don't want this to control what is said in the other portions of the negative deck.
Okay.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to acknowledge and thank the staff for their review of the State Lands Commission negative declaration and for providing them with feedback that has made this a stronger document and more comprehensive overall, so thank you for that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Chair Wallace, in the realm of accolades, I would just like to say that I found this to be a particularly detailed and very clearly written project description and proposal. So it's really excellent work.
I wanted to say something very similar with my colleagues. I actually enjoyed reading this, and I wanted to thank staff. This is our only item, action item, for this evening, and I'm glad there weren't more, because this is something approaching 500 pages. Obviously, we've read it, digested it to the best of our ability. So thanks for remembering that and not just putting other items on. I actually enjoyed reading it. It had a lot of history. It had a little bit different focus on federal regulation. And I did especially, well, not enjoy, but anyway, I liked reading about the shipwrecks. So it was very thorough is my point. So thank you, staff. And now?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to point out, since you mentioned the issue of shipwrecks and seafloor obstructions, that one evening, 90 years ago, seven ships of the U.S. Navy crashed at Point Honda near Point Aguayo in about a 5 to 10 minute period, which was the largest peacetime naval disaster in our history of the Navy. If you go back and look at that, there's that seven destroyers that are on the log of all crashing the same day, about at the same time, during a fog.
Oh. Thank you.
History lesson.
Okay. I'm not hearing further questions or discussion, so we have recommended motions on page one of our staff report. If we're ready, let's go ahead with those.
Okay, Madam Chair, I will make the first motion to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 13, next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, considering the Mitigated Negative Declaration, SCH number 20121010-24, for the Venneco Incorporated Platform Holly Power Cable Replacement Project, and adopted findings and a mitigated monitoring and reporting program, case number 12-145DP-CUP-7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059 and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-042.
Thank you. Is there a second, please?
I'll second.
All right. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous, Madam Clerk. All right, I think we're asked to do one more motion. Number two on page one.
Okay. I'll read that one. I'd like to make a motion to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 13, next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, approving a development plan and major conditional use permit for Venneco, Inc. Platform Holly Power Cable Replacement Project, case number 12-145-DP-CUP-7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059 and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-042.
Thank you, Commissioner West. Is there a second, please?
I second that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That, too, is a 5-0, Madam Clerk. And I think that concludes our work on the item.
I would just like to thank the gentleman for a really interesting site visit on Friday. I appreciate that. It was very informative. Thank you much.
And thank you for being available for questions. Okay. So our next item is director's report.
Good evening. I don't have much to report this evening.
You know, I wonder if you would introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Jennifer Carman, Director of Planning and Environmental Review. I don't have a director's report this evening. The one thing I can say is that as of right now, we don't know if we will have any items for the next Planning Commission agenda. So we will be finding that out in the next couple of days, and we will let you know if the next meeting will be canceled.
Thank you. Okay, and then we have Planning Commission comments. Anyone have comments?
Hey, comment. As you all know, I'm very interested in the zoning process that's happening here. So I wonder if someone could give us an update on what's happening with that.
Thank you. So the last meeting that was had was with the City Council, where we proposed a public process for the zoning code. They would like the zoning code to work through the ordinance committee. And so what we're doing right now is we're working on an RFP to look for consultant services, which we will then, once we have an order of magnitude number, we will be taking that back to the City Council, probably the Ordinance Committee, for them to really think about how we want a consultant involved, depending on what the order of magnitude is as far as RFP responses. We suspect that number will be high, but it's really, we'll be able to, the RFP is being formed in a way to be able to break out sections based on cost. And then we'll look to put a process together that works the best for everybody.
Okay. Follow-up question. So for people watching at home, if they want to have input into this process, what's the best way for the public to have their voice be heard during this?
Every discussion on the code, as we start to get the process rolling out, will be a public meeting. That would be one of the best ways at this point in time. Once the process actually gets started, we will be reaching out to the community through citywide mailers, our newsletter, and the website. We also have an e-notify section on our website, and if you want to get specific notice of public meetings, you can sign up there.
Madam Chair, I had one question to follow up on what Commissioner West was speaking of, and I was just going to ask the director what is anticipated that the role of the Planning Commission might be in this process?
That's a very good question. I believe that the Commission should be heavily involved in this process. However, at this point, I can't say exactly how we will be bringing the Commission in. And in previous cities I've worked in, we have locked the commission in a room for a summer and had them go through every line of the code. I don't anticipate the involvement would be that heavy here, but that is something that we will be working forward as we get responses. We'll be bringing that back to you for your input as well.
Other comments? Okay, I have one. At our last meeting when we were working with Willow Springs 2, I said that what I felt was an important piece of information was missing from the staff report. In fact, that information was in the staff report. I apologized to the planner at that time, but because I made that comment in public, I think I should also apologize in public to the planner, Natasha Campbell. So, Natasha, I am sorry. Okay, I believe that brings us to adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Right.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ditto.
That's four and a ditto. Okay, we're all finished. Thank you very much. Finished. Thank you very much.